And may we indeed recognize him this Sunday, in this service, in our hearts, in the scriptures, in the sacraments, and in every way Jesus comes to us. Amen. Please be seated. Such a blessing to get to praise God like all those wonderful songs. And maybe a reminder, it's maybe a little weird for us to be doing Easter this Sunday and Reformation next Sunday. But I did forget to mention that in the announcements. Wear your red, not your fake red like I have on. Wear your real red this coming Sunday, and that'll be a great celebration for us all. But we are indeed celebrating, arriving not just at the last chapter of Luke, which I think is just a great thing for a church to have read through an entire book of the Bible together, and I really commend you for doing that along with us, but arriving at this really most pivotal chapter. In the epistle reading, you heard when Ed read that, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then we're still in our sins. Then we're, you know, it's all we have is a little bit of hope for this life that you know, that God loved us and Jesus came and died for us. You know, as a nice noble act of a, like a hero, you know, falling on a hand grenade for someone. It takes that sacrifice for sin, yes, but it takes also the resurrection as the exclamation point, as the validation from God that the punishment and the payment for sin was complete. And that is really what the resurrection is all about. And what I'm calling this message today about the open tomb and the opened scriptures, and also then those burning hearts that we can have. So let's take a look here. Let's go and move our way into our last part of the Gospel of Luke together. From the reading you heard from Luke 24, starting there at verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. I'm not sure if you ever thought about this before, but it's not as if Jesus was in there going, "Hey guys, I still have all these bandages on. Can anybody help unwrap me? Can anybody get this stone open and get it out of my way?" No, he didn't need help to get out. The Heavenly Father gave him the power of resurrection by the Holy Spirit. He was able to then, his body, go in any place at any time he wanted to. As we see later in the story, showing up on the road to Emmaus, disappearing suddenly once they had started the supper and he was blessing the elements. Appearing again with them in the upper room when the door was locked. Jesus could appear and go anywhere. He did not need the help. So why was it such a big deal that the stone was rolled away? And maybe it's worth noting that the Greek doesn't just say it was sort of creaked back a little bit, which would take three or four people to roll it in its little track. It was thrown out of its track like a bank vault door blown off and hauled a block or two away. It was a very clear sign that death has no hold on the Messiah. Come on in and look. And by the fact that his tomb was empty, we know that our faith can be filled because God's kept every promise. God's shown his love. He's opened that way for us to look in, just as those women were there, as those angels. The open tomb wasn't to help Jesus out. It was to help the disciples in, to boost their faith and to boost ours as well. I think it's also interesting that sometimes we need things repeated for them to sink in. It's kind of nice when the Astros repeat victory after victory so we feel victorious, right? It really starts to sink in. It changes who you are and how you feel. It's the same way with Jesus. The scriptures, they've heard them all their lives. They've memorized big chunks of them. But sometimes you need something repeated, and maybe you need a visual reinforcement of what you've also heard as well. And that's what's going on here. It's this scripture that's been told over and over. The angels say to those women, "He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Remember how he told you when he was with you." I think that's a good point for us, because if we aren't in a hard time right now, we will. That's sort of the common thing to the human experience, isn't it? We're going to be in some hard times. And if we can remember those times when we felt God with us, if we can remember those times when we heard him speak to us, if need be, turn to the scriptures to get reminded of those promises, then we are strengthened and we have this great, great gift so it really sinks in. Well, they're remembering, and this quote of the angels has the extra quote marks because the angels are quoting Jesus. In case it's hard to see that on the screen. The Son of Man must be delivered over into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've had it happen to you. I know I have, where you read a passage in the Bible and you go, wait a minute. I know I've read this before, but it's hitting my heart in a whole different way. It's opening my mind more than it ever has before. In fact, it even happened to me this week going over this chapter and getting ready for this. I remembered this part, the part where it says at the end, and then they said, oh, our hearts were burning when he opened the scriptures to us. But I missed this one here near the beginning. And I also didn't realize that the same thing gets said in verse 45. Now, I don't have time to explore all those in today's message, but if you come to Bible class, I'm going to try to create my version, my best recreation of that amazing Bible study that Jesus must have given those disciples on that 7-mile walk. Now, do the math there. If you can walk at 4 miles an hour, that would mean that that Bible class lasted about, what, an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. I'm not going to make my Bible class last that long, and I'm not Jesus. I can't do that, but I'm going to do my very best to do that, and I really encourage you to be a part of that. Then they remembered his words, and let's remember it this way. Let's let this sink in. You and I, our own earthly minds, we can't grasp these things. It's just like the disciples. They heard Jesus say more than 3 times, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. It didn't sink in until they saw. And it really works for us. It doesn't sink in maybe until our minds are opened by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that gave life to Jesus and brought him out. The same Spirit that Jesus used to open their minds so they could understand the Scriptures is the Spirit he gives to us to open our minds. And what a great way for us to start any time we're about to read the Bible. Lord, would you by your Spirit open my mind so I can see this afresh, so I can understand it at a deeper way than I ever have before. It's a great way for us to approach that. So along the way, as they're opening their minds, here, let's move to that next section, the one that I said where, you know, I didn't notice this also before, or just had forgotten, it had faded away. In addition, some of our women amazed us. It says in Luke 24, verse 22, these are the two disciples on the way to Emmaus sharing with Jesus this whole story. They went to the tomb. They didn't find his body. They came and told us what they had a vision with angels, that he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb. They found it just like they said, but they didn't see Jesus. Now Jesus, they don't recognize him, but Jesus speaks and says in Luke 24, verse 25, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I think there's something really important here for us. You and I, we're told in this world, you know, you just need to keep an open mind, right? Just need to keep an open mind. Things will make sense. But the thing is, there are circumstances in life that tend to close our minds. Like when you give a dollar to the homeless guy at the corner and you watch him go buy a beer in the convenience store 2 or 3 times, your mind's not open anymore, right? You know what's going on there. When you hear on the news about this person, you know, this, and you see the sin after sin, the robbery after robbery, you see all of the things in this life, and you go, you know what? Everybody's out for themselves. It's all dog-eat-dog world. It's criminal. Our minds are closed because we know how the world works. Everybody's just in it for himself. I need to protect myself. I need to just trust God and, you know, do my best. God is saying to us, no. Our minds can stay open, realizing God's had a plan. Yes, is the world doing its thing? Sure. But never forget that God is also doing his thing, that he is still working. He has had a plan since before the creation of this world, and Jesus outlines that for him. Don't you know the Messiah had to suffer these things? And beginning with Moses, meaning the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, and so on, all the way through the prophets, he explained to them what had been said in the scriptures concerning himself. what a Bible study that must have been. And as I said, I'll try my very best to create portions of that here today as we go through that. But what a Bible, what the Scriptures had to say about himself. And by doing that, what that means is that you can trust the God who said, I'm going to rise again from the dead, keeps his promises. You can trust then that the promises he made that nothing's ever going to snatch you out of his hand, he's going to keep, because death didn't let him hold on to him and keep him from coming back to tell us. You can trust that his promise, that we will hear his voice, that my sheep know me and I know them by name and they will listen to my voice, that we'll hear him and we'll have his guidance. We'll have his strength and his presence to get through everything that we face. We can trust that he is good because he has fulfilled these centuries and millennia long promises. I hope every time that we come to the Bible, we'll ask Jesus to open it to us. Because with what the world can do and how callous our hearts can get, how we need an open heart and an open mind. Open to God, if that helps to understand. Open to his word and not necessarily to the lessons that the world would try to teach us. I think it's also helpful to realize that when Jesus was telling them this story that he had to suffer, he had to die, it was all according to the Scriptures, he's clarifying for us. I was doing all of that to save you. I was doing all of that because of the Father's love to not leave you alone and to your own resources, but to grab you and make you those children of God that the choir sang about at the beginning. I was doing it to prove that since the tomb won't hold me, I'm not going to let it hold you. And that is a great promise and mark of his love. So it's my prayer and my hope that with the Scriptures and our minds open to God and empowered by his Spirit, that we're going to be able to, our hearts just on fire for him, remember that all of his promises are true. The loved ones you miss, you'll see again. The God who says you are never alone is really with you through all the valleys and all the difficult and lonely times that we face. That he rejoices when we rejoice, and he grieves with us when we grieve. We can trust that indeed all of that is true. And I think it's a great reminder also for us, but maybe it's worth remembering, that the Gospel of Luke, written by Luke, his very next book is the Book of Acts, sometimes referred to as the Gospel of the Spirit or the Gospel of the Church. Right where this book of the Gospel of Luke ends, the Book of Acts goes on. It's the last chapter of the Gospel, but it's the starting chapter of God's family, the Church on this earth. It's the starting chapter of how he takes fear-filled disciples and people who don't quite get it, don't quite understand, and their minds and their hearts are open, and there is a fire of hope burning within them. To not only be confident in this life, but to share that confidence and hope with all the others that we meet. That is his prayer, and that is ours today too, that our hearts may burn with hope, and that we can praise the one who frees us, even from death itself. To his glory, amen.